Welcome to Autism Knows No Borders, a podcast where people connected to autism inspire change and build community. Together with the Global Autism Project, I'm your host, Rachel Harmon, a professional with over a decade of experience in the field of autism services, outreach, and advocacy. Do you feel trapped in your daily routine and want to feel inspired again? Do you think there's something more you're meant to be doing in the world for the autistic community? Are you a self-advocate or professional looking to develop as a leader, build confidence in your own abilities, and help others do the same? If so, you'll want to listen to part two of this special series because our SkillCorps volunteers share how they reconnected with their passion in the field from going on their trip to Kenya. Just a recap in case you missed part one from last week. SkillCorps is a carefully curated 10-day journey that includes developing culturally relevant and sustainable training with our partner staff, listening to local autistic self-advocates and their family members to learn about their lived experiences, sharing meals with community members to brainstorm ideas and solutions, and executing a high-impact project to build on existing work being done in the country. Last October, we sent a SkillCorps team to visit our partners at Kaizora in Nairobi, Kenya. As you probably know, if you follow our work closely, we're also sending teams out in the field this July, and we're currently taking applications for travel in October. Join us today at skillcorps.globalautismproject.org and use the coupon code AUTISMPODCAST to waive the application fee. In part two of this special SkillCorps Journey episode, you'll hear Team Kenya talk about personal growth, professional development in the field of autism services, how traveling with the Global Autism Project has inspired them to create change in their own communities, and tips for future SkillCorps travelers. In this episode, discover what's possible when you lean in to curiosity. And now, I present you SkillCorps Team Kenya. How have you transformed and grown personally and professionally? You can even think back on that who can you be exercise from the beginning of the trip. I think it was done in New York and maybe in country too. So referencing that. Okay, Lauren.
This might sound bad, but I feel like it was definitely like I already knew that I'm very fortunate. I've been, you know, blessed with a lot of opportunities because of where I was born and the family I was born into and all of that. And I think for me, it was, you know, seeing how hard life is over there in general. And like, it's hard to get water sometimes, you know what I mean? Like life is hard there. And so for me, I was like, what am I doing? I'm just kind of wasting potential here. So now I've got a lot of things that I'm trying to do here. And I feel like too, it also helped me grow like personally, because not only am I like professionally motivated now, like I'm also just like personally motivated. Like I'm motivated to be a better mom, and I'm just applying all of that, and I'm just trying to do better. So I don't know, just not waste what I was given, I guess.
Yeah, that's huge. Thanks, Lauren. Emily.
Something that really stuck with me, it was first kind of mentioned in orientation by Molly, and then we just kind of kept coming back to this idea, is Molly talked about how you have the benefit when you are starting with a new group of people who don't know you, a group of strangers. Everyone's coming into it not knowing anything about each other. Molly uses the example of you can come into orientation with brand new pink hair and no one would know that that's not just how your hair looks every single day. And so I think then the things that we think about ourselves that are our weaknesses, coming into a group like this, like no one else has any preconceived notions about you. No one has prior experiences with you. And so something that kind of really was a personal growth opportunity for me was early on in the trip, we shared with each other kind of what we were really hoping to grow from in this trip and things that we wanted to strengthen in ourselves. And so I shared that with my team. And then on the last day, when we were all kind of talking with each other about what inspired or moved us from each other, almost every person that I talked to was like, the thing that you shared of something that you want to grow in yourself, I would never have thought that you think that of yourself. And so that was really powerful for me, and just something as like a personal thing that I've taken back with me is like, we are our own worst critics and we get in our way probably the most. And so, you know, the things that we think little of ourselves, most people aren't even picking up on those things. And in fact, people are seeing you in such a different way than you see yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks for sharing, Emily. Laura.
I'm just going to keep this short. There were two things that just keep coming back into my mind from the trip. One is to approach things from a sense of curiosity, and the other is to be an active listener. And these are things that I'm trying to work on.
Thanks, Laura. Cassandra.
A lot of what Emily said is that we kind of get to be the people that we've always wanted to be. And going into this group and the like-mindedness people, that we are also having the people in our lives that we've always wanted, the people that give as much as we do and don't necessarily typically receive the same. And so both professionally and personally, to be able to come back and not accept anything less, because it's out there and we deserve to be able to be our authentic selves, both in our fields and our passions, but also personally. And before this trip, a lot of it is feeling stuck in whether it's in your job or in your personal life. And going on this trip definitely will make that impact in both aspects of life, just because of the passion you see in each other and what is being told to your face, because all of us are such genuine people that no one's going to say something just to say it because we had to. Every word by every person was truly meant. And so those compliments we talked about and feeling uncomfortable, Corbin and I bonded over that. It's very uncomfortable to receive compliments, but it was very easy to believe them from these people, and taking that home and telling myself that as well.
Yeah. Thanks, Cassandra. Tia.
It's almost hard to put into words how to answer that. I felt I was the youngest person in our group, and with that just comes less professional experience. And I felt very intimidated going into this trip, and also after getting to know my team members and just how incredible they are, what they're doing in their line of work and what they've done in their past and all those things, it was a little intimidating for me. But I think the biggest thing that I learned is that, one, I shouldn't and I can't compare myself to other people in a professional setting. I bring a unique viewpoint and I have unique ideas and all these things that I think I overshadow with my insecurities and being intimidated. So I think I grew professionally in a manner that allowed me to focus on what I can bring to the table instead of focusing on the things that I feel like I can't bring, or I'm not educated enough, or I'm not knowledgeable enough. Like, you know, like instead of thinking more in that negative light, like thinking more, okay, well, what can I bring? What do I bring? How can I collaborate with this team? And just seeing myself in a more positive light, because I really, this trip did show me that I do have good ideas. And I, even though like I'm not in like the ABA field anymore, ABA was like my first job, and that's how I got connected with the Global Autism Project. But I think coming in, knowing that I still wasn't in the ABA field, also brought that intimidation factor. But by the end of the trip, it just felt silly that I even ever felt that way. And personally, gosh, I mean, this trip was so out of my comfort zone. I wouldn't consider myself a traveler. And doing this trip just showed me that I can do hard things. I can do things that are out of my comfort zone. I can do things that seem challenging. I can do things that I'm maybe scared to do. I can step into a place with people I don't know and make beautiful connections. It really just showed me that I can do it. I shouldn't limit myself because I'm scared or I'm nervous or intimidated. So I think personally, it just was a big realization that I can do more things than I think I can.
Thanks, Tia. Corbin.
I may have mentioned in a lot of my substitute jobs, I've talked about how much the kids like me and how a lot of cases is like, I almost don't understand this. What do they like about me so much? But I recently covered a 2-day substitute assignment in a 5th grade class that covered a sudden vacancy that just popped up with like no warning. And I mentioned to another long-term sub that was there that, man, I'm putting myself out there to try and get one of these long-term subs in the meantime. And she mentioned how experienced I am. And she told me, if you're not experienced, I wouldn't take this job. And it's like, you know, because, you know, for one thing, it's in one of our cities, some more economically disadvantaged neighborhoods where you have students of various different circumstances are all together. And even though you're held to 5th grade standards, sometimes you're teaching, you're somehow trying to integrate things at lower grade level standards as well. But I knew it was not something I need to listen to because I know why students like me. And it's because at a time where I honestly feel like those students like felt or are feeling very abandoned from a sudden departure of their regular teacher. I was scheduled 2 days. I showed up the second day that I was there. And I Tuesday, after a 1-day assignment, I'm starting one that's a month long at another school in our city's southeast side. And I know some of the staff pretty well there. And I know what I'm going to do is I'm going to show up every day that I'm scheduled to be there. I do a good job observing how I need to be with the class. I honestly don't walk in as a stern disciplinarian. I try to take kids to a private corner and have a chat with them rather than just running the referral. Just to find out what's going on, because a lot of these are emotional regulation issues and not sheer behavioral issues. And I'm going to develop a rapport. These kids like me for a reason, and that reason is clear. I believe they're worth it. They are worth it more than whatever challenge they present.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Corbin. Julia.
Yes. So as I already mentioned, in my professional life, let's say, I have already adopted a new approach and be more mindful on trying to work with others instead of doing for others. And personally speaking, every exercise we did that required me to have a deeper understanding of my own behavior and the reason behind it, it gave me a lot of strength. And I also learned new coping methods as a result of challenging situation, like having to adapt to the language, to the cultures, or degree of any kind of stimulations. And what was initially really challenging turns into a very worthwhile lesson in the end. So, and I also think that being part of this team in particular surely helped the whole thing.
Yeah. It's good to have that support. Thanks, Julia. Colleen.
All right. When I think about both personal and professional transformation, this was my third trip. And I have to say, the personal growth I experienced on each trip is there are no words. Like, I feel the emotions coming. Like, I could just cry with how much this has helped me to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And it's just really helped me to grow as a person. And the first two trips and most of my skill core journey, I was very fortunate to have a great professional working environment. And since this trip, I'm in a different type of a professional environment, and it's been very different and difficult for me, and it's been challenging. However, coming back from this trip, I'd have to say the professional transformation I've been having is using what Laura's short and sweet little chime in was about this, is I'm staying curious, even though my job's really difficult right now, and I am actively listening. because I know this is a career and something that I'm very passionate about. And as a teacher, we all know burnout is real, right? And I am feeling that at my core. But what I received on this trip and what the support I got and just the refueling of my passion and all the skills that we've just learned from each other is what's helping me to continue on professionally. So I guess that's a way of like thanking all of you guys, but also telling the listeners, like, these trips are so worth it. Like, I just can't even fully put it into words. And I guess I just tried to. So thank you.
Thanks, Colleen. And, you know, in the spirit of staying curious, some of this growth, it's not like an overnight thing and it's done, right? Like, stay with it. Sometimes you might realize 6 months down the road or a year later, or, you know, you're working with a family or talking to a colleague, and you'll notice a shift in your mindset or just how you might have handled a situation. And so stay curious, stay open, like, just enjoy this process of this growth. Okay, let's close with one last question. So, you know, imagining that maybe some future SkillCorps travelers or people who are curious might listen to this episode. Maybe some people in your family or, you know, some other colleagues that you have. What would you want them to know? So do you have any tips or any advice for future travelers or people who are on the fence about hitting submit with their application? What would you say to them? Lucy.
Since we've been on this call, my cheeks hurt from smiling. And the last time that happened was when we were in country. And just the amount of just pure happiness and joy, just like seeing everybody and getting to know everybody, those connections you make, not only with the people in country, but your team, it's life-changing. And we said it before, you know, we only knew we were with each other for 2 weeks, but I feel like I've been with them like my whole life. And I know I have like lifelong connections, not only from a friendship standpoint, but from like professional standpoint. All of these individuals, as well as Gap, like, you make so many life-changing connections, both personal and professional. So just do it.
Great. Those Thanks, are going to be my exact words. Just do it. But also, I personally had quite a few setbacks trying to get on this trip. I think I originally applied in 2019, and I was in grad school, and that didn't pan out to line up. And then the pandemic pushed it back again. And then I also had quite a few personal losses this year, right before this trip. And so there was a lot of things that were making me distracted from committing to this trip and postponing it. But something just kept pushing me through, because I knew and I heard how life-changing this is and amazing. And I needed that where I am in life. And this, like Colleen said, there's no words. I can't put it into words how much this trip has changed my life and rejuvenated and invigorated my passion for this field, because of how the trainings for this are to build relationships with each other, but also our leaderships and ourselves. And it's just truly worth it. So push past all of those obstacles, because it's worth it. And everything happens for a reason.
Great. Thanks, Cassandra. And Tia.
I think, being someone who's not in the ABA field anymore, I still got so much out of this trip. Well, especially because we were going to this clinic where it was not heavily ABA based. I mean, obviously there were other disciplinaries there, but team wise, it was kind of heavily ABA based, but that didn't deter me from anything, really. I think if anything, my views and lack thereof of ABA experience was actually really good. I think being able to have conversations about how we're going to present to the staff in the morning and making sure that, you know, we're using terms that are understandable. And, you know, I almost felt like I was able to like positively challenge the group a little bit, because I genuinely forgot some of the terms from like ABA. So I think coming in as someone who is in like a more unique professional setting, that it was really valuable to the group. And I mean, my whole group was just so amazing about incorporating me and my skill set. So I just really appreciate them. And I encourage anyone who is on the fence about traveling or applying to just do it, right? I think I've talked about it a lot, but the biggest thing that I got from this experience was that I can do hard things. And that first hard thing is applying. So you got this. It's hard, but you can do it.
Thanks, Tia. Lauren.
I would say there's not really going to be like a right time. And for me, there was a lot of self-doubt. So I would say if you have self-doubt, it's okay. And just apply anyway. It all works out.
Great. Thanks, Lauren. Emily.
Lauren set me up perfectly because that's kind of what I was going to build off of. I feel like I kept hearing about how amazing SkillCorps is and how just do it. But the reason I was holding myself back for so long was I was scared of so many things. I was scared I wasn't going to be able to fundraise. I was scared about traveling to a foreign country with a group of strangers. But like, I think just recognizing that those are genuine, valid fears that we all experience, but there's truly, not to sound cliche, but like there's nothing that we can't do. Like you can fundraise, you can travel, you can be gone from your family, from your work for the 1 or 2 weeks, however long that you're there. Like there's nothing that has to stop you. I mean, if you really want to do this. And so I think just switching that mentality and telling yourself, like, why can't I do this, is absolutely something that I would want people to hear.
Hello, Rachel here again. Do you feel burnt out and want to renew your passion? Are you ready to meet like-minded people and make friendships that will last a lifetime? Transform autism services in the world and experience the connection, inspiration, and freedom you've been searching for in this field. Join us today at skillcorps.globalautismproject.org and use the coupon code AUTISMPODCAST to waive the application fee. And now, back to the conversation. Colleen.
On that fundraising note, and as a fundraising coach, I feel right now, personally, what I hear is a lot of people hesitate because of the fundraising and the amount of money. And I just look at everyone on here and I think, I don't know who said it very earlier in this conversation, how they can just have the conversations now and it's so easy. But anyone that's hesitant to start this because of the fundraising, please know there is support. I'm actually in the heat of a 10 days to 10K right now. And you have not only a bunch of coaches, I can look at everyone on this screen, everyone that's been on a trip could be a mentor. And it is like, I just feel like the dollar amount is nothing once you go on these trips, if that even makes sense, right? Like you can do this and you will fundraise that money. You just will. You can do it. And we're here to help you.
Thanks, Colleen. And Corbin.
You know, I will say, I think this is for anybody that's just feeling lost or like stuck with wherever they are. One thing I was just thinking about now is if I would have, like, after I graduated in 2018, then I moved to Indianapolis and it was a complete success instead of completely imploding on me and leading me on a string of like different, you know, different jobs. And of course, my experience with working at a car rental firm going into the pandemic, that I definitely wouldn't have found myself in a position where I would have been there. If I was just a success right away, I definitely wouldn't have found my way here. That is for sure.
Everything does happen for a reason. Julia.
Yeah, mine is more a tip for after when you get accepted. Just like be present. Do not think too much and trust the system. I'm saying that because at the beginning, that was really challenging for me. That was another learning experience. I learned to actually be present and enjoy the moment and like go with the flow So this is like something that I think one wants to get accepted, you should embrace the whole program like this.
Mm. Yep. Cassandra, part two.
The whole time we were told to trust the process, it's going off of what Julia said. And all of us are planners. And we're like, so what's the schedule for tomorrow? Please tell us. And we'd get maybe a vague answer or a you'll see. And those questions died down as the week went on. And it was amazing. Making a decision when I came back was probably the hardest thing I ever had to do because I didn't have to make a choice the whole week because of the process, the journey, and trusting that. And it really does make this extra special of the unknown. And that's scary for us and to commit to that. But it truly is part of the best part of the process.
Yeah, learning to be flexible, learning to let go of that control. Okay, guys, well, thank you. Thank you so much for opening up and sharing. Jesse, do you have any last words for your team?
Oh, goodness. Last words sound so final. I think as you can kind of hear, as everyone has shared, there was something magical about each of these people that created this team, a willingness to give of themselves, I think, and to really like to look and see someone across from them or next to them and want to know more and want to care for that other person. And I think it just made all the difference in the world. And yeah, everybody came with a lot of different experiences and interests, and it just made it so rich. And then now there's this like little network that's kind of far flung. We cover the globe. And there's such a connection there because of how willing everybody was, I think, both to show up as themselves and to see the other people for them being themselves and to extend trust in a way that is a little scary. And a lot of it to me, to let me kind of guide you guys and create that space. But by doing that, that like let this sort of like magical thing happen. So I think, you know that each of you, and we lost a couple of people, had to log off, but like you all did that, you know, so you have that capacity to be amazing, however you show up and wherever you show up in the world. And you shared it with Team Kenya, but I know that you all in your like, your lives out there too, are just, you're wonderful humans and you're making a difference. And I'm very glad that I know you all.
That's so sweet.
We love you, Mom.
I asked the team members to talk about what they've been up to in their communities since being back home. Here are some of their responses.
So bringing this back home, I think the vocational program at Kaizora was very inspiring, and the skills that they were choosing to teach were very different from things that I have experienced and taught my current clients. And so I think the end goal of having the employment opportunities definitely does change your thought process of what skills are important to teach. Because we have this typical list that we kind of go through and check the boxes. Okay, we've taught them to, I don't know, sweep or make their bed, etc. And yes, that's important. However, can we teach more functional skills that will lead to employment and furthering their life outside of just the adaptive skills that we are so typical in our box back in the US? And I think that's definitely something that I brought home and was very inspired by.
I was looking at it not necessarily from the point of view as actually what I could do for the autistic community, as more as creating a replica of the people that were on this trip, teaching those leadership qualities, making sure people know their values, inspiring them to do some self-examination, to be better leaders within the community. I always tell people that when they're going like to visit a school or something, you're going into someone else's home to try and give them that first sense of like, don't go in there telling people what to do. And really, that's what I got out. This group did that so well, of being in someone else's home and listening and taking in that information and really working together And is that because they're a unique group of people? But I think they are. And I think it's also that there were certain exercises that we all did together that helped them to be even more of their best selves. And that's really what I want to bring to all the BCBAs that work for me. And then once I work with them, then, you know, work with the rest of the staff also. It's what really inspires me.
So the outreach focus for our trip was employment. So some of my personal commitments with that, it was actually really interesting because my last job prior before being a child life specialist, I was an employment consultant for adults with disabilities. So my job was to work with these adults and help find them a job. So I would meet with them, figure out what their interests and hobbies and passions are, and really drive around the city and try to find jobs for them, and meeting with different companies and managers and employees, all those things. And then going with them to interviews, helping prepare them for that. And I actually had a lot of clients who had working interviews that were very similar to the one that we did with some of the Kaizora people. So that was really cool for me to kind of experience what I did in my prior job in another country. So that was really like a really cool full circle moment for me. So I guess how I would bring that back to my community, I guess I would like to stay more in touch with the people who still work at that company that I worked with. I really loved that job. But during that job, I was going to school to be a child life specialist. So my ultimate goal was the job that I currently have. So I unfortunately did have to leave that job, but I still keep in touch with a few of the employees who are still employment consultants. And I guess a way that I can still give back to that community is to just encourage my old coworkers and the employees who are currently there and supporting them and just reminding them what important work that they're doing. So I would like to continue to do that.
What I've been doing back home since my trip, something that stands out to me is we spoke about going to different countries, especially our trip just to Kenya, and recognizing that they just don't have the same resources or maybe the lack of resources. And something that like I realized coming back home is like, we do have the resources. And I did many years of middle school and high school, but right now I'm in elementary school with the little ones. So I kind of went backwards with like the older ones now to the younger ones. And I just see a lot of these families and a lot of the parents I work with, they don't know what is out there. And there is stuff out there, right? So I am now going to my IEP meetings with that list, right? There's these lists that float around. There's all these autism centers. However, if the parents or the families are not shared this information or guided, who else is going to do that? I'm going to do that. So I'm going to provide that list. I'm going to help them realize there are resources and there are people and groups and centers and insurance. And we have all these great resources. And I want my families to know that. And I just didn't understand why they didn't know that. So I'm making a point to make sure they do know the resources and support are out there.
At the time I traveled with Team Kenya on SkillCorps, I had transitioned from my manufacturing job and continued along to my path in working in education. One big thing that I've accomplished was I was able to be hired at a local middle school as a paraprofessional, which is a step up from being the certified substitute, being at one school instead of several schools. As I continue, my next goal is to secure employment and complete my transition to become a fully certified teacher and have my own classroom, because as I've learned through my entire process, that education is my best impact.
Since coming back from my Global Autism Project trip, I've been engulfed in helping the Haitian autism community and disseminating information about autism and reaching out to different partners and orgs so that I could help. In addition, I'm also really big on research, so I've been trying to find ways to disseminate a lot of the projects that Global Autism Project has been doing on an academic level, which includes publishing in journals and also presenting at conferences.
Firstly, I prepare a presentation about my SkillCorps journey for the Tuesday colloque scientifique of my department, Service des troubles du spectre de l'autisme et apparenté, in Lausanne, Switzerland. In this presentation, I not only share insight about the whole project, but I also incorporated a short interview with Corbin, one of my teammates, to provide a deeper and more personal perspective on our journey. Secondly, I have seamlessly integrated the tools and skills I learned and practiced during the whole trip into my everyday work, whether it was problem-solving technique, communication strategy, or teamwork skills. I've been applying these learnings to enhance my performance and effectiveness in my professional endeavors. My next action are focus on one or two major needs that I could observe in the field. I have a better theoretical understanding of these topics. Right now, I'm very much into communication and social skills, and continue to invest in traveling to places with fewer material resources, new culture, etc. This combo for me is the best way to continue to train your brain to think, make theory yours, really deeply understanding, and find creative solutions that match the here and now, so that the do with and not for is fully present. I really do believe that is way more effective, do with and not for.
I have been working with the DEI committee of the company where I work at, and we are creating a plan for improving services for non-English speaking families and clients. Also, I have participated in a video talking about my experience with the Global Autism Project in Kenya and how that has impacted my professional life and personal life. I have also written a blog about it in English and in Spanish. And right now I am getting some training in DEI and leadership to be able to create a training for all the people in my company.
Since I've been back on my trip, I have been working on a couple of projects. Most recently, I've been working on publishing a children's book to basically spread the word of inclusion and destigmatize disabilities and neurodivergent students. A lot of it is focusing on the illustrations, and it starts some really, really good conversations for teachers and parents to have with their young students. It's really geared towards that early childhood population, and I found the need for it because I really couldn't find a book that encompassed all the things that I wanted it to, so I just made my own. Also, with the theme of inclusion, I've been working really hard with some state groups and some activist groups to get some much needed changes here in South Carolina in the field of special education. Again, more so directly towards early childhood special education, because we are very outdated and it is time for a change. Lots of changes that need to come. So I've been working very closely with them. Hopefully we get some, they're not necessarily bills, they're more so just mandates put in place, but fingers crossed, because that's going to be coming out probably this summer, if so. And the book, we are kind of delayed on that coming through, but hopefully soon, so stay tuned.
Since I've been back from Kenya, I started to implement some of the team building exercises with my team in my classroom. I have 9 teaching assistants. I have found that some of these techniques really work with just opening communication and checking in with the team. On a bigger scale, I have been organizing my district's first autism and neurodiversity event. This started out as a small little resource fair that the district would put on, but then it has quickly turned into a much bigger scale project. Now we have included local ABA clinics who are going to be coming. I have reached out to other local businesses who are involved with the autistic community of Liverpool, so they are also coming. And then I've reached out to some companies on a larger scale that are farther away, some home safety type of businesses, things like cubby beds, just trying to connect my students and their families with what's available to them, what resources are around, and a lot of really cool home safety equipment is covered through Medicaid and insurance. So I think it's just important to really connect families with those resources because a lot of them don't even know that there's so much available. So that's really my goal right now. And that event is next week. It's going to be fun for parents and for kids. I wanted the families to be able to bring their kids and feel comfortable bringing them. So the auditorium is going to be partially a sensory area, and then there's going to be games. There's even mini golf in there, a popcorn machine. It's going to be super fun for the kids. I've gotten companies, local businesses to donate so that we have sensory toys to give away to kids. A lot of people have donated towards a free raffle for the families. So it's going to be a really fun event all around. And I even have some RBTs from a local ABA clinic who are willing to come in and hang out in the auditorium with the kids so that the parents can go to the resource fair. So that's my big project that I'm working on right now. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do next, but I know that I'm just going to keep going and keep trying to connect my families to everything that's available. And then another smaller scale thing that I'm working on is getting a common curriculum between all of the special program classes at my district. So all of the self-contained classes. We've just switched curriculums, and so I'm kind of trying to make sure that we're all on the same page and our kids are doing exactly what they need, because my kiddos from my class will be going on to the next special program. So I want to make sure they're in good hands when they leave me. So yeah, I feel like I'm on the right track, and I really have Global Autism Project to thank for giving me the confidence to feel like I can create this big event for a bunch of people in my community. And the fundraising helps me, because now I'm able to fundraise and ask people for help. And it feels really good that I can accomplish such big things on my own, but with the help of others. But, you know, with my ideas, it feels very good.
Thanks for tuning in to Autism Knows No Borders. I hope you enjoyed going on this journey with Team Kenya. Now you have a better idea of the growth and transformation that can happen on a Skillcore trip. To learn more about the clinical training and outreach initiatives they focused on during their trip, please listen to episode 171. Do you have a personal or professional connection to autism? Are you ready to make a difference in 2024? Travel the world and contribute to high-impact projects with a global team of autism professionals and advocates. Visit our international partner sites and collaborate with local stakeholders on outreach initiatives in their communities. You can still apply to travel with us this October. Join us today at skillcore.globalautismproject.org and use the coupon code AUTISMPODCAST to waive the application fee. Thanks for listening. Take care.